let's record on this computer. Boom, good. Okay, everyone, thank you for coming and welcome to the Wednesday, June 21st, 2017 Pony Development Sync meeting. We got seven folks with us right now. We got Carl Quinn, myself, Sean. We got Theo, Andy Turley, Joe, Paul, and Gordon's with us as well. No Sylvan today, I'm assuming not. Sylvan today because he flew back from Barcelona this morning to work, so that seems unlikely. Let's start with some PR, shall we? How about 1967?
We could go. We'll look at the numbers. Which one is that?
1967. Joe, yeah. Is there any reason not to at this point? I think.
No, if the CI issue is fixed, I think we can go ahead and do it. You want me to do it?
I can do it because I got it right here. Boom, boom. All right. That was a reasonably simple one, but it is a breaking change. Okay, let's see. Next. I'm just going backwards through them right now. Okay, I assume 1966 is not ready because it just says preliminary. On the other hand, it doesn't have do not merge. Do you know what the, Benoit is not around at the moment. Do you know what the status of this is, Joe? Should this be marked as do not merge for right now?
I don't think it should be.
You don't think it should be merged or?
I don't think it should be do not merge. I think, let's see, I gave it approval, I believe. Or no, I just said exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a big one. I haven't looked through it in detail. Let me just see if it looks like it has things that might, as I understand it, just adding new features to the compiler. I'm going to do a quick look and see if it has anything that looks like it might break things. I don't think it will based on the description. And if it doesn't break anything, then probably safe to merge.
Hey, Benoit's here. Benoit can answer as well. Benoit, we're looking at 1966. That's your add serialization of compiler objects PR. Is that okay to merge?
Hey, yes, I think it's if it looks good to.
Okay. I wasn't sure. It said preliminary, and I didn't know if that meant like this is a preliminary PR. This is preliminary changes. So. Joe's going over now.
Yeah, I think let's just go ahead and merge it. I don't see anything that looks like it's going to be problematic, and Benoit has a vision of what he wants to do with it for incremental compilation, and that's exciting. So let's get it in there.
All right, merged. Next up, 1961, fix support for recursive constraints on if type conditions. Looks like Benoit signed off, but you... maybe had some stuff that you were looking at around naming, I believe. Is that's still open, Joe? Yes?
Yeah, I'm going to put the do not merge label on it because I think we agreed the name should be changed, but Paul is busy with writing.
Yeah, I'll rename it like sometime next week. I'll fix it, yeah. And then I think it's just a name that needs changing.
That yeah, I do too.
How is the schoolwork going, Paul? Going well?
I handed my thesis today, so I'm quite happy it's over now.
Woo! All right, congratulations, man.
Yeah, so that's good. I'm not like as happy as, well, like the thesis does not look as good as I wanted it to look, but whatever.
you know, what your summation of this is more or less when people would ask me about when I finished the book, Storm Applied, people were like, how do you feel about it? And I'm like, oh, well, it didn't really come out how I envisioned it or wanted it. But, you know, at this point, it's done. And I'm so happy.
Yeah. I started my talk, like the presentation that goes with it on Tuesday, and then I'll be done with it.
Nice. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
So Carl's here. Is there stuff about 1897 that we should go over? The initial CLI package implementation?
I think it's pretty much ready to merge now. Joe has given me a lot of feedback. And
yeah, I agree. As of this morning, I think it's ready to go.
All right. I will hit the rebase and merge button. Wait, is there a change log entry for this?
Here. I'll add the tag. Let's see. You didn't get rid of the old options package in this PR, right? You just added the new one?
No, I just added the new one, and I updated all the examples to use the new one.
Okay, great. All right. I added the change log, added label, and I'm going to go ahead and merge it.
Nice.
Dun, dun, dun. Great work, Carl. It's a
Thank you. It was a learning experience for me too. It
made a lot of work. I know.
For anybody who's listening and is not familiar with what that was, many Pony users who've used the existing options package, which allows you to do command line interface stuff, would complain regularly about its using it and how painful it was. And Carl opened up an RFC for a replacement for that, and we just merged the replacement, so I believe everybody should be quite happy with that. Woo!
Woo!
Yay.
Woo! Which reminds me, while I'm talking about it, I need to add that to things to make sure to put into last week in Pony. Boom. All right. So that'll go out with a little note and whatnot in that.
I think there are still a few things that, a lot of suggestions that have come in the meantime that we've postponed that, you know, I can take the input from people and we can continue to iterate on making it nicer.
That sounds good. We have a bunch of do not merges. Should we go through these do not merges real quick, Joe, to make sure they're still do not merges? What do you think?
Sure.
Let's just real quick. So we have 1951. It looks like, you asked if it should still be in do not merge of Benoit. Benoit, 1951, should that still be a do not merge?
I think I was waiting to see if Paul had other comments on it. But Paul, if you don't have any comments, then I think we can match.
I don't really have any comments on that. It's just the code looked a bit more complicated than I thought it could be. But apparently, from Benoit's comments, it seems like that's how it needs to be. So I'm fine with merging that.
Alrighty, merging. Awesome. Okay, and that should definitely have the fixed. Okay, let's see. 1947. That should still be a do not merge, Benoit.
That looks like the same thing as the other one, and there seemed to be a conflict, so I'll have to fix that.
Yeah. Okay, but then it can be merged afterwards, unless Paul has any comments.
Yes? No, I'm still not sure of something. It's basically when you do the is, you try to determine like all the inner types that need to have an is implementation as well. But when doing that, you're comparing the two types. And the thing is, the implementation of is only uses the left-hand side. So you should not be looking at the right-hand side type.
It's true that it's only using the left-hand side type, but we don't need to add the is method on every possible type of the left-hand side type, like. Because if we do that, we could add it to a type that's in the left hand side type but not in the right hand side type. So it's true that there are some problems with this implementation, namely with what we're talking about with
different tuples with different type IDs.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we can probably revisit this piece, merge this pull request, and revisit it when we fix the tuple identity.
Yeah, you're right. We'll have to revisit it. But for now, I think it's the best thing we can do.
Okay. Sure.
All right, so I'll pull the do not merge off of that, and then after you fix the conflict, we can go ahead and merge that, Benoit. Yeah?
Okay.
All right. Another one that has do not merge on it, 1937, that's your make tuples be subtype of empty interface like any. Joe?
Yeah, this was do not merge because it was kind of waiting to see how the stuff that Benoit was working on shaked out. Benoit, do you think we should go forward with this after that is PR gets merged, or is there something else we're waiting on?
I think it should be good after that.
Okay. So after that PR gets merged, I will bump the commit so that CI runs again, make sure it passes, and then merge it.
Okay, sounds good. And looks like we got one more. But it has a blocked and do not merge on it. So okay, and we should fix. Okay, yeah, that one should definitely be because there's still an open thing on that. All right, okay, that appears to be it for our new PRs. Let's see, what do we have here for bugs? We have the new one that just came in. What do we got here? Let's do a couple here that are under investigation. Okay, so it looks like we have three to go over. We have we have 1973. Issue 1973, that's operator precedence when combining ternary and infix operators.
Yeah, I think we definitely want to get Sylvan's input on this, but we can also get other people's input right now.
Yeah, if people want to have a look at it. I have to say, I was surprised that the not applies, like in the first example, Joe, to the B, and I would expect it to be to the B equals 2. I think there are some things that could be worked out around it, but this feels like a place where like the precedent rules and having to provide parentheses kind of makes some sense to me.
Yeah, I mean the as we discussed a little bit later in the ticket, it gets weird when you start thinking about, I mean, by the parser not and like unary not and unary minus get treated the same way in the parser. And as we kind of as Dipen and I continue to discuss in the rest of the ticket, it gets a little bit weird because, for example, Dipen says that his expectation would be that if there is, if the minus is directly adjacent to the X, he would expect it to bind to the X. And if it is separated by any white space from the expression, he kind of expects it to bind to the larger expression, which, I mean, if I can see why that might be the first intuition, but I think, as I brought up in my comment, I think there was a lot of intent around making sure that Pony was not a white space sensitive language, and figuring out, you know, what's the best sort of way forward for the language here.
I have one observation. I think it's a keyword and not a symbol, it's more confusing. If it was like a not, like an exclamation point in other languages, it would clearly want to bind to the immediate token right next to it. But because it's a keyword, it's not clear how it should go.
Yeah, I can see why that would be part of it. But that doesn't seem to be the primary reason, at least for Dipen. For Dipen, it seems like he thinks that the space is mainly what it's about. And obviously, you can't have zero, because it's a keyword, you can't have zero spaces between
right.
Not and the next part.
Yeah, my thing really comes down to is that I think that this is an area of possible confusion and sneaky bugs that could sneak in. And in general, even in the cases like where the stuff with the minus, like it's requiring parentheses in order to make it perfectly clear, seems like a small price to pay to me, but that's just me.
I think I would agree for requiring parentheses when they're keywords, because then it's really not clear. But the minus, I don't know.
Yeah, and there's also the point that Dipen brought up later about a distantly separated minus lines above.
Does anybody else have anything right now on that? Otherwise, we can pick it up again next time when Sylvan's around as well.
Kind of related, but do we have a is not syntax as opposed to not and then parenthesis stuff is?
Yeah, we have isn't, ISNT with no apostrophe.
Oh, okay, because I was just going through the examples at the top, but if that yours already exists, that's great.
Sorry, what was the last part of what you said, Paul? I didn't quite understand.
No, I just didn't know there was already isn't operator. That's it.
All right, why don't we go ahead and we can pick this up on another time when Sylvan's around. We can keep going with it on this. I don't think there's going to be a quick, easy answer to that one. Next up here, we have 1971. This is the one you opened, Joe, identity issue when neither operand type is of a subtype of the other.
Yeah, so actually the main bug this was open for got fixed by a PR we just merged earlier in the call. But the reason I left this open is because, even though the original issue was a duplicate, is because there was some additional discussion here between Benoit and I about sort of another language design concern about like what we would expect the compiler to do in the case of trying to use the is operator on two types that are, for some definition of the word obvious, obviously not going to ever be overlapping, so the is will never return true. I was kind of making the point that maybe in cases hopefully that my explanation was clear, but basically if you have A is B and you're checking whether the two objects are the same identity, if the type of reference A and the type of reference B are not overlapping, then there is no possible object in the program that can make that comparison return true. And my sort of conjecture was that maybe instead of like what Benoit is doing in the compiler right now is making sure those are optimized so they return a constant false value instead of having to actually do a comparison. I was raising the point that at least for some subset of those cases, we might want to issue a compiler error and say, hey, this will never be true. What are you trying to do here? I think Benoit brought up a good point that doing that for all cases might sort of violate some like action at a distance concerns in terms of like, you know, adding a new or removing a type from the compiler could cause unrelated code to suddenly error out, which is not what we want in terms of action at a distance. But I think for some subset of those cases, there are cases where adding a new type to the program can never make the two types overlap. Like for example, if you have two concrete types, like each is a class or an actor, for example, though, and they're different classes or actors, because we don't have inheritance, those two types are never subtypes of each other, and they never overlap. And there's no possible type you could add to the program that can make them overlap. So I think that gets rid of the sort of action at a distance concern. That's been the thought so far. It's labeled need discussion during sync because we wanted to continue that discussion and decide, hey, do we want to have a compiler error for that sort of thing? Or do we want to just leave it as being optimized by the compiler to a constant false in the code gen?
I agree with you that if the two types are concrete types, we should print out an error, I think. But if it's like interfaces, then no, we should just optimize it and not give an error.
Okay. And then I think
that's a good approach.
I think we can do it. I think we can also do an error if one type is an abstract and one type is a concrete, if we can prove the concrete is not part of that abstract.
I don't know. I don't think, because then if you add methods, your type could become part of that. It would never become an error. You'd have to. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure about that part, but if it's two concrete types, then we can definitely give an error.
All right. I will write that down here as being what we talked about. Actually, I'll probably open a new issue ticket to track this, since the main thing this was open for has been fixed. I'll open a new issue ticket to track that concern, and then we can, if someone else wants to weigh in with another opinion about that, we can, or we can just start with doing it for two concrete types, and then go from there.
So now we didn't tag 1951 as high priority. Joe, but this issue is tagged as high priority. I think fixing this is worthy of triggering a release at some point in the near future. And we're also rolling up on when we do one on July 1st anyway. Would you agree that getting this out is worthy of a release?
Yeah, I think it is, because this could be causing... I mean, this causes a subtle bug. For me, it was causing it in the Pony and Pony compiler that I was working on, and it took me a while to figure out what was going on. This could cause pretty subtle bugs in a lot of places.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. So, Evan, I just opened a ticket to release 0.15, and somebody can do. I don't know. It's maybe me, maybe not me. I got a lot of stuff here right now. Okay. We got one more here for the moment. 1972. I think Dippin talked to you about this one, Joe, a little. Yes.
Yeah, he did. It looks like a bug to me, but I did want to get Benoit's input on it because Benoit was the last one who worked on tuple recovery. I thought so at one point, tuple recovery was broken and unsound. Benoit fixed tuple recovery. He was originally going to disallow it because the original implementation was unsound, but we kind of worked out we can allow it in some cases, and I think this is supposed to be one of the cases where it's allowed, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it looks like a bug to me as well, where it seems to get like this would work if you change the example here that's in 1972 from at the end A comma let B to let B let C, then this works fine. It's that it somehow is picking up and thinking that like A is a ref at that point, and I'm not sure why it thinks that.
Well, it's the other way around. It's treating the consumed Z as being a ref, like it's not actually recovering it. You're right that doing let C let B works, but that's because it just ends up with let C being a string ref.
Okay.
If you let C colon string ISO, it doesn't you get the same compiler error you see here. Hmm. So it's an issue where the recover block is not allowing you to recover the consumed Z to an ISO, even though from my perspective it should. Especially when it lets you do it, for a single value. I also thought that when I first looked at this that it might be related to the fact that you were mixing a mutable and an immutable in the in the tuple that gets recovered. But even if you do two string refs in your tuple, it still doesn't work.
Any comments on this one, Benoit, at the moment? Do you need more time to
think about that? I'm trying to remember the rules that we agreed upon. I think it was Joel Steed who came up with these rules. So there is a comment in ls.c that says if we're recovering to something writable, we can't lift the reference capability because the objects in the tuple might alias each other. So I think that would be the rule that we came up with.
I could see that.
So maybe we could
Benoit in the tests in recover.cc line 470 there's a test oh that's a test that it gets an error, so I thought I was about to say there's a test that shows this working, but no, there's a test that shows this erroring out, so this is expected behavior. But maybe we need an error message that explains what you just said with we can't allow it because they could alias each other.
Sorry, which test?
The test is titled Can't Recover Tuple Mutable Lift. and that's in recover.cc line 470. So I originally thought when I was looking at this that it showed that it was possible to recover it, but no, it's showing that it's impossible.
Okay. So I was thinking maybe we could allow recovery if the individual reference capabilities of the field of the tuple can't alias, like here we have ref and val. But ref and box, for example, wouldn't be recovered. I think that would be sound.
We should probably have a deeper conversation about that and pull Sylvan in as well for more brains on it. Yeah.
Yes. Well, can you write that rule proposal in that ticket?
Okay, I'll do it.
Alrighty. So that's the last of our stuff, and we're halfway through at 4:04. Does anybody have anything that they wanted to bring up or discuss? And also, I thought we'd say hello to Zachary Larson, who, as far as I know, this is his first time dropping in on a sync call. So welcome, Zachary, if it is your first time. Anybody got anything they want to bring up?
Hey, Sean, I was just looking at the release process document. Do we still require sed to be installed? I don't think we do.
Interesting question. We
got rid of all the sed stuff, I think.
Okay,
the tool.
Yeah, that could probably be updated for that. The thing which hasn't been added, definitely hasn't been added to that yet, is that I've been doing those the release blog posts, right? This is what's changed. And in the case of breaking changes, provide an example for people in the blog post of what you have to change in order to fix if this broken thing hits you. And then otherwise, you know, highlighting any specific stuff. So that's also missing from it as well, in addition to the said stuff potentially not being there. Why are you thinking of doing this release?
I could probably.
Okay. That would be great. If you could do the release blog post as well. It's probably going to be a long one because it's been a while. Yeah. You could also be the first person to try out the how to add your author information stuff to that I wrote up the other day, because you'd need to do that for to have that go in with the blog post.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, I think you're right. We should update that to not use sed anymore. That was the big reason, was we wanted to get away from sed. Oh, I still remember that Saturday when I was like, wait, I could do this in sed. Oh, yeah, but no.
Saturday.
But you're always good with the dad jokes.
Ooh.
Oh, we lost Carl. Anything else? No. All right. I have nothing either. So I guess that would probably be it. So yeah, Theo, you want to take the shot at doing 0.15.0?
Sure. Just want to mention, when did we start doing Nix releases?
He mentioned to me, that he was updating that, as he had a chance. So, and I said, well, would you like us to, you know, tag you on something so you know when it's happening? And he said, yeah, sure. So, pretty much, you know, it's like a, hey, here you go. This is happening. So, you know,
sort of like the Gen 2 stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically like, hey, we're doing this. So, you know. So you can trigger this whenever you want to.
Awesome.
Yeah. I personally haven't tried it out, but, I think there's also, when we do this release, there's an issue if we do this, Theo, for one where there were problems with like the I think it was the Ubuntu packaging with some seg faults, which in theory should be fixed once we do the release. We probably want to. I think the issues are still open. They're buried in there somewhere that we'd want to ping them to test. Oh, again, there's my update release process to account for new release notes process, which I haven't I haven't done yet. I'm not finding the issue, though, for stuff that in theory would be fixed when we do a new release. Oh, here it is. It's 1943, Theo?
Yep.
In theory, this should be fixed when, what's 197, what's the release one, 75, 76, 76 is done. Okay, so I put a comment on that so you could, after the release, you could ping him on that and see if that takes care of that issue.
All right.
Cool. So I guess that's it. Unless last chance for anything.
Hi, this is Zachary. I just wanted to say hello since I am indeed new to this group, and just wanted to take the opportunity to introduce myself. I'm interested in finding out some more about the work being done on Distributed Pony. I saw some of Sylvan's talks to that regard, and I'm currently looking sort of at amateur level around formal methods, and talked a little bit with George Steed on his work that he had done with the specification work on the language, and was really, really, I just, the language is really beautiful, and I'm currently working on a project in distributed computing space with object capabilities as a design discipline. So that's how I found Pony is through some of the research that I was doing with object capabilities, and found this like amazingly beautiful language in this regard. So I'd love to learn more of any work that's being done on formal specification and distributed Pony in general.
So I'm not familiar with any that's happening. I mean, there is Sebastian's thesis from Imperial. What's the name of that one, Joe?
String of Ponies. Yeah.
A string of Ponies. There's that. And I mean, the very first step towards Distributed Pony was going to be being able to serialize Pony objects, right? Mm-hmm. And that work made it in last fall. But since that point in time, it hasn't been a priority for anybody who's using Pony. We at Sendence thought it was going to be for us, but we ended up doing other stuff where we provided a lot of the same functionality in our thing. So we dropped looking at supporting, pushing work on Distributed Pony at that point. And there hasn't been anybody else from the community who's done that. Sylvan and I spent a lot of time talking about like actual implementation details for it. And if somebody was interested in picking up that work, then certainly looking at Sebastian's thesis work on that, and then talking to at least Sylvan and I about some of the implementation thought that went into it would be the case. But right now it's been like, at least for Sylvan and I, when we talked about whether either one of us wanted to dedicate time to working on it as volunteers, we came up with, you know, that there was stuff around providing stability, mm-hmm. Like closing, like there's a GC hole that Sylvan's been working on and stuff like that. So it's as far as I know, there's nobody actively working on that right now.
Yeah, that was also the impression I got when I emailed with George Steed, and it might make sense for me to be interested in doing that. So I'll take a look at String of Ponies. Is that the title?
Yeah, okay. I can find it if you. I can take a look and see if I can put a link here in the chat.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and if you want to pick that up and you want help with it, then certainly there are several of us, particularly Sylvan, who could provide assistance and guidance on that.
Yeah, that's great. I very much would like to follow up with you on that. So my first action step would be to check out the existing work on String of Ponies. And what's your email?
Mine is Sean, S-E-A-N, at monkeysnatchbanana.com. Also, if you go to the mailing list, you can grab my email off of there. There's numerous responses from me on there.
Okay.
Or
so, I just pasted the link in the chat to that paper.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a good starting point.
Awesome. Yeah, that would definitely be a great thing to have. I'd love to see it make its way in.
Yeah, I think it has tremendous potential for application in a distributed environment. So
awesome. Yeah, are you ever in the IRC channel, Zachary?
I've jumped on there a few times, I think I actually messaged once and I got some response.
Yeah, I feel like somebody asked in the not so distant past about it, and I think Joe and I both responded. I was wondering if maybe. Oh yes, here you are, Zach Carter.
No, my handle would have probably have either been Sophia or Hierophantos, H-I-E-R-O-P-H.
Let's see. Could be in here somewhere. Anyway, okay. Yeah. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Anyway, have the conversation now. So yeah, definitely feel free to email me. And Sylvan could certainly be a help on that. Mm-hmm. I'll try to email Sylvan because it's basically like emailing into a black hole.
But I understand.
but if you really need to get in touch with him on something like that, let me know. Sylvan and I have known each other since we were 16 years old. So
that's awesome.
I'm usually a good conduit to get to Sylvan.
Excellent.
Because we have a personal relationship, so I can use a personal relationship to harassing him to do a project. Yeah.
Very, very, very awesome work on what you all are doing.
Well, welcome to the community, Zachary. Hopefully we can help you out with that, and that would be really awesome.
Cool. Yeah, thank you. I'll take my stuff off, put myself back on mute. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Just as a little announcement, the Pony and Pony compiler is continuing to make progress and got the bulk of the functionality for the first few passes of the compiler in there, and then working on some of the parallel compiling and in other sort of interesting aspects as we get to the interrelated passes. So that is the github.com/JEMC/ponycc is where that work is going on, and I've been pushing that work regularly, so people can follow along or pop in and see what's going on there. But that's just the update on that.
Awesome. Anyone else? Cool. All right. Thanks everyone for coming. I might see you next week. I'm going to be working from QCon Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. So I'll probably be around. Joe, I might not be. I'll let you or Sylvan know if I'm not going to be, and you have my credentials, so you could always do a save on that.
Okay.
And then the couple weeks, I'm definitely not going to be around because I'm going to be in Paris for a week enjoying myself. I'll let you know when that's coming up, though. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a good evening or afternoon or day, depending on whatever your time zone is. And talk to you later. Bye-bye.